Welcome back, 1570 AM WNST. My next guest is Nestor Aparicio. Nestor, welcome in.
Happy week before Preakness. Happy spring. Happy golf weekend, fishing weekend. I don't know. It's May. We need better weather. That's the first things first. I mean, first things first, no more rain, 82 and sunny. I want July weather in May is what I want, Dennis.
From your lips to God's ears, Nestor, and happy NFL leaks. I saw your schedule leaks. I saw your tweet that went out. Of course, the NFL is a leak out. The Ravens are playing the Bills at 8:20 p.m. Thanksgiving night.
Do you believe every leak? Because I'm starting to. Leaks begin so early, and then they start to align. The fact that we're playing in Cincinnati in week one, and the fact we're playing in Cleveland in week two, and the fact that the Tampa game is going to be Halloween weekend, and the fact that we're going to have the Steelers in here on New Year's Day, or we play up there in the – I don't even know. But, I mean – they've turned the schedule thing. Just give me the schedule so I can book my flights and go. Yeah, I got to go to Cleveland. I got to go to Cincinnati.
That's how they do, Nestor. But I do believe leaks. I believe Tom Brady's going to get $375 million for 10 years from Fox. He's denying it, but that's a major leak that's out there these days too.
Where's the value in that for Fox at $37 million a year?
They have to see value in it. They have, I guess, their metrics show that people will tune in. To hear the golden nuggets that are sure to come out of Tom Brady's mouth. And look, Tony Romo was at the
– By the way, do you think he'll be any good? Let's start with that. Let's start with the fact that Ray Lewis wasn't any good. Lawrence Taylor wasn't any good. Eric Dickerson wasn't any good. There's just Jason Witten wasn't any good. Booger McFarland wasn't any good. I mean, there's a litany of guys that aren't very good at it.
But Tony Romo is very good, and he's making $17 million a year, which isn't bad. Probably more than he was making as a starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. This was, of course, pre the salaries going through the roof.
But he's really good at it.
He's very good. I love watching him. I love how he sets up the plays and draws the routes for the receivers. And I've never seen him miss. Every time he says this is going to happen, guess what? That's what goes down. I mean, if I'm playing and I'm a defensive coordinator and he's broadcasting my game, I've got him in my ear. I'm that way. I know what's coming from the offense.
Well, he's that good. But that has to be borne out doing it. Tom Brady's good at throwing the football. I mean, Joe Montana wouldn't have been good at color.
Joe
Namath wasn't any good. I remember when I was a kid. Oh. I mean, I don't think Chris Collinsworth is very good. You know, I mean, there are guys that are like better at it than others. I think Phil Simms is excellent, right? I mean, I think Troy Aikman's excellent, right?
Well, maybe they've auditioned him. They've seen enough to merit that type of a deal. And for him, I mean, $37.5 million a year for calling, 2022 games max? That's a lot of money, Nestor. That raises the bar certainly for all sports commentators, I would think.
Well, I want to be a sports commentator. Where do I sign up?
Hey, you might give him a deal. You might come in a little bit less than $37.5 million per year. It just goes to show you the strength of the NFL, the brand, the type of money they're able to command and for them to keep spinning out storylines day after day after day.
Whether it's on Monday, we're going to release the Sunday night games. On Tuesday, we're going to release the ESPN games, on the international games, all of that stuff. But it is, and you know, the Orioles kind of came to life a little bit this week. We have a horse race here next week that should be a big deal locally. I mean, I talk so much about how we haven't gotten this right. I threw an email out this week about the World Cup announcements. I think that's going to be happening in a couple of weeks. But other than this or Lamar getting a deal, you know, we knew once the draft was over, you don't want any of these guys getting injured, anything weird happening. But until they kick it off, allegedly in Cincinnati on Sunday night, September 11th, on Sunday Night Football, speaking of Chris Collinsworth, I would say that there's nothing here that matters more. And when the schedule comes out, people are going to line. They want to go to New Orleans. They want to go to Jacksonville. They want to go to Tampa. Mm-hmm. Maybe they want to go on a bus trip with me to see the Jets on October 16th or 23rd or whenever that game is. 23rd, I guess. But the NFL just owns it. And we sit here and wait. And God forbid there's any injuries or any arrest or any off-the-field turmoil or any of that kind of stuff. I know DeCosta and Harbaugh would like it that way, but they are the biggest story in town. I mean, they are. And that's the way it is.
Yeah, they dwarf everything. I mean, right now we have hockey playoffs, we have basketball, NBA playoffs, all kind of things happening. But again, they still manage to steal the headlines and push these other stories down almost on a daily basis. And I mean, the stories that keep coming out are just unbelievable. Of course, there's the side story of Earl Thomas too, and what he was trying to do to his wife, trying to poison her, whatnot. At the same time, tweeting out he's ready to come back to play in the NFL.
Of all the mistakes, and they've made some mistakes, right? I mean, obviously, they made a lot of mistakes in the aftermath of the Ray Rice situation in regard to integrity, in regard to transparency, accountability to a large degree, putting him in front of the logo and letting him do like all of that. When they're a textbook on what not to do anymore, and the Earl Thomas thing, dude, it's crazy. I mean, right? And they probably should have known that when they signed him or done a little recon. I mean, they do all this recon on these kids in Indianapolis, you know, for months and months and years going into the draft and to give an established player. I mean, that's why I thought they avoided Antonio Brown, right? That's why I think they would avoid OBJ. That's why I don't know that they'll get tangled up with Jarvis Landry, although he may have more guilt by association with those cats, but he's been bouncing around enough and hasn't won enough. But I when I saw Jarvis Landry on that Hard Knocks, I liked him. But troubled players that, I mean, Richie Incognito, he was still playing a couple years ago, right? So these guys that have problems, it seems to follow them, and more money, more problems. But the Earl Thomas thing's disturbing from a, you know, Ray Caruthy kind of
sure
beyond criminal, psychopathic, Aaron Hernandez kind of beyond drinking and driving, or beyond I have off the field issues, whatever they may be. We're talking about trying to kill people is a whole different thing.
Yeah, that's been by far Eric DaCosta's biggest mistake. And I give the organization credit for moving away from him sooner rather than later. I know they still owe him $10 million. At this point, I can't see them paying him that money. I can't see a judge or a court giving him that kind of award, particularly with his latest developments in his domestic situation.
Yeah, well, these are the things you don't want to have happen to an active player, right? And this is where, you know, Lamar, clean image, cleaned all up. He's down in Louisville doing things. I don't think they go to bed worrying what Lamar did last night, in the way that Phil Savage said to me when they drafted John Ogden over Lawrence Phillips, that Mr. Modell, you'll sleep better if we draft John Ogden.
Wow.
You won't have to wake up and wonder what happened last night to your star football player.
Now, I looked him up the other day to confirm what I told a friend of mine, that he committed suicide in jail. That's exactly what happened. He had killed his cellmate, and he was awaiting to be tried for that. He was serving already 31 years, and he ended up hanging himself. So that was a tragic story and a draft pick that many Ravens fans were clamoring for, and the Ravens certainly got that one right.
Well, I mean, over the course of years, mistakes have been made. I mean, I have these old pictures of me next to Darrell Russell. Remember him? He was taken by the Raiders early, I think the 97, 98 draft. And, you know, I don't think he lived to be 30, right? I mean, and then the other kinds of tragedies with the young man from the Washington Redskins who was murdered.
Sean Taylor
in the middle of the season. It was off season. But either way, I mean, these tragedies that happen, these things that happen, players mixed up in the wrong thing. Calvin Ridley. Gambling on games after they tell you not to gamble on games, you can't play. So there's a million things that can go wrong at the dealership or at the radio station, right, Ben? But for them to avoid these problems and the Earl Thomas thing popping up, that you hope that these 11 kids that you drafted, and certainly watching Kyle Hamilton, watching Lindenbaum, you know, watching Travis Jones, watching these guys do their press conferences. It's nice having new football players and new blood. I think as a fan, I get worked up about it. The Ravens do a nice job with all their videos out of Owings Mills to keep me interested. Now we're going to have a schedule. I'm going to book my flights. We're going to have some road trips, maybe without masks. For all of us, there's nothing left to focus on, right? In June and July, they don't do much after minicamp, right? There is that downtime. I don't know that the league welcomes that. The league's like, well, go buy a Kyle Hamilton jersey is what they want you to do.
Yeah, they certainly want constant noise, but it is with all those players and whatnot, a lot of moving parts. It's the gift that keeps on giving. As you mentioned, certainly us as Ravens fans, we're intrigued by the rookies, right? All the moves, every move that they make, who they're bringing in, what veterans they're talking about, whether it's Jarvis Landry or Julio Jones. There's another name for us that I like a lot. I love to see him in a Ravens uniform. I think we all see a veteran wide receiver coming. It's just a matter of who, when, and how much is it going to cost them.
Well, and think of over the course of time here. They haven't drafted wide receivers well. We'll go through that, right? So let's go backwards here. Mike Wallace. Okay. Steve Smith. Better than okay.
Yeah.
The Macklin. No bueno, right? No good, right?
Didn't show up.
The guy that dropped the ball in the back of the end zone, the Lee Evans. Yeah.
Lee Evans.
No bueno, right?
So Michael Crabtree, he was here for a minute.
Oh my God, Michael Crabtree was here.
It just goes on and on and on with.
Well, it's almost like the Orioles bringing in like washed up pitchers or what? That the wide receiver position for the Ravens. Sometimes you get a Matt Harvey, and sometimes you get an Ubaldo Jimenez. I don't know. I don't have any good examples of the Orioles bringing in. I have good examples of the Ravens maybe bringing in Anquan Boldin. You know, I can bring great examples, right?
Oh my God,
of them bringing players in.
And that's the one that got away. That's the other part of it, right? The one signing that I think Ozzie Newsome would tell everyone that he would have signed back to the team. And he was an amazing player and very grateful. He retired a Raven as well. Let's not forget that about Anquan Boldin.
Hey, by the way, I got to throw this into your show because we had a little go around on Monday morning. Talk about your mom making Greek cookies and what I did over the weekend. And I went up to Long Island and I visited with literally one of my oldest friends. I mean, I met Barry Trotz. We had to think about what we met. I was 17 years old when I met Barry Trotz. So there aren't a whole lot of people that I've collected before then as Nasty Nestor or on the radio or whatever. This is when I was just a reporter at the paper. Some of my Hammerjacks friends, I go back at that point, but spend a weekend with Barry Trotz. He gets fired on Monday morning.
I know.
Then I'm crazy. Like a coach killer, man. It's terrible. No.
Yeah, don't have dinner or lunch with John Harbaugh anytime soon. Just let's let John stay here for a few more years. But yeah, that was odd.
You see my eyes light up. It'd be like, tell Harbaugh not to have a beer with me next week.
Yes, stay away from Nestor Aparici if you value your job.
Hey, I kept Marvin's job. I went to three Last Suppers with Marvin thinking he was going to get fired. He got four contracts there. So you never know. You never know. But hey, and Adley Rutschman's coming up next week too.
Okay.
Probably. So, there will be, there's a little orange light over my shoulder here, Dan, the orange light shining through on the purple as Mo Gabba would have it. But the Orioles have won enough this week. They've been relatively there, right? They're playing every night. They're doing something the Ravens aren't doing. They're playing. And they're now going to allegedly be bringing up Major League Baseball players.
Okay. Look, they're showing, like you said, some signs of life. I see on your Twitter homepage, you have the brim of a hat with the orange streak going through it. So I'm assuming that's an Oriole hat. So it's nice to see us at least paying a little attention to the Baltimore Orioles.
Wow, I didn't even realize that I had a little orange streak in my hat. Yeah. Now I have to go to my Twitter page and look for it.
You did. See that? I observe. I notice things.
Well, we're going to have a race here next week as well. And, we should be the center of the sports universe with the winner at 80-1 of the Kentucky Derby and all of that stuff. But Bob Baffert's not here to talk to folks, so I don't know. But we are going to have a Preakness here, and this used to be really the center of everything we do as a sports community here around the Preakness, and crab races and Preakness nights and beers and concerts and balloons. And I'd love to see us be able to get back to that, I'll be talking a lot about that next week with the racetrack. Cause that's my Baltimore positive mission. I saw them resurrect Lexington Market last week, Dennis.
Yep.
They're going to resurrect the Orioles this week.
Okay.
Next week, let's resurrect the Preakness. All right.
Sounds good to me, Nestor. I appreciate your time as always. Keep doing great things and keeping Baltimore positive.
All right. Give me some Corimbates. I need those, man. I got some coffee here in my cup. Come on.
You got it. There he goes. Nestor J. Aparici off to get some Corimbates here on 1570 AM WNST. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.
If I learn how to pronounce them, maybe you'll let me eat them.